if you're a person, a parent listening to this discussion, and you have not had the opportunity of immunotherapy, and you're reasonably concerned that your child has a peanut allergy, what do you do to make sure, to the best of your ability, that you protect your child? Can't keep them in a bubble.
Right. The things that we might talk about with a family are dependent on their child, if they're 2 or 3 or 7 or 8 or 10 or 11 or high school or college. Each discussion in that kind of age range I talked about vary depending on what the child and the ownership they can take. Like, I had discussions in clinic this week with 2 young adolescents. At that point, they really can begin to know and own the disease. And when they go out to eat, they're saying, I'm allergic to whatever, and then they can help. And the more they do that, the more comfortable they are and the more comfortable their parents are. So the big thing to understand in this for a family is that you have to ingest the food to have a serious life-threatening reaction. It's not smelling it. It's not touching it. It's not eating next to somebody at school or a ball game or walking in 5 Guys. The child that's peanut allergic doesn't like to smell it. They intuitively just go, like, that doesn't smell good. It makes me feel bad. But that's not going to cause a life-threatening reaction. You have to eat the food. It may only be, like I said, a quarter or a third or a hundredth of a peanut. It doesn't take a lot. But you have to eat it before you're going to have a really bad reaction. That's the biggest thing for a family to understand.
The worry of a parent also would be, I have one child with a food allergy, a peanut allergy. What are the chances of another child, a sibling, now being at risk? 100%, 5%?
No, it's less than the majority of them are really at risk. And you can tell relatively early in life if the new sibling has atopic dermatitis, they have asthma, they have other allergic disease, they're more likely to have peanut allergy. If they don't, you know, their first couple of years of life have no atopic dermatitis, they don't have any other allergic symptoms, the likelihood of them having peanut allergy is pretty small.
Do you introduce peanuts to a sibling slowly just to make sure this isn't a problem? Are there guidelines for that?
There are guidelines. It's a fascinating history that I've seen in my lifetime. When I grew up in the field, then the advice and the guidelines based on animal studies at that point told us as pediatricians to help people avoid the food. So the guidelines said avoid milk for 1 year, eggs for 2 years, and peanuts, tree nuts, things like that for 3 years. And I was around when people developed the guidelines. They were extrapolated, as I said, from animal data. People did that for a few decades, and then this change in prevalence happened, and people then began to study that and the opposite, which was introduction of those allergenic foods in the first 4 to 6 months of life. A landmark study was done about 3 years ago in London, and the guidelines internationally have changed now. So if you have a child who's not allergic to anything else, no allergic family history, give them peanut butter, not peanuts, at 4 to 6 months. If you have a child that's from a family that has allergic disease, unless they're having other, like atopic dermatitis, so they have no risk factor, then give them peanut butter at 4 to 6 months. And then the last one would be from a family that has another peanut allergic child, or they have significant atopic dermatitis, and they could be tested with either a skin test or a blood test. And if it's negative, then you give them peanut butter. All three of those, once you introduce peanut butter in their diet, they're not going to develop peanut allergy later on.
And it doesn't make any difference which kind of peanut butter it preserves. Peanut butter is peanut butter.
Right. The interesting thing about that is that there are differences in the peanut oils, and this may be more than you want to know at this point, but it is important for families. The reason is that Chick-fil-A, one of our favorite places to eat, uses peanut oil to cook in. And so for a family, that is equated to peanuts. But the peanut oil that's used by Chick-fil-A is actually heat processed, so all the protein's gone, and you can't have a reaction unless there's protein there. If you go to Carrboro, to the health food store, and they make peanut butter by grinding up peanuts in a mortar and pestle, then the protein will leach into the oil, so it's cold-pressed. But any commercial peanut oil does not have protein in it. And it's an important thing for families to understand that.
So the cold-pressed variety, is that a risk or not a risk?
Yes. No, it has protein in it, and you can react to it.
So it does make a difference how the peanut oil is made.
Yes.
Heat-killed or cold-pressed are very different.
Yes.
Huh, that's an interesting difference.